Good evening. Thank you so much for joining us tonight for our time of ministry in the Word of God and our Bible study. Our God is amazing. He's awesome. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy of all our glory. He's worthy of all our honor. He's worthy of all our worship. And we bless and we magnify His holy name tonight. I thank you so much for joining us, wherever you are joining us from in the world, and on whatever platforms you are joining us. I know there are different platforms through which these broadcasts are released from the ministry to the world. And I'm so thankful that the Lord has enabled us to take advantage of all of these different technologies that exist. It's so awesome to be able to get the Word of God out to the saints. I'm telling you, that is what it's all about. That's our calling. That's what God has assigned us to do, is to get the gospel to the whole world. And we're so excited to have the privilege of doing that. With each life that is touched, other lives can be touched. With every believer that is strengthened in the Word of God and in the Word of His grace, and with every believer that receives the Word of God's grace and is able to step up and enter into their inheritance, that many more believers that actually can be influenced in such similar ways. So it is such a blessing and a privilege that we have the ability to be able to share the Word of God with you on a regular, ongoing basis. And I thank you very much for being a diligent student of the Word. You know, you've probably heard me say it if you've been around our ministry for a while, that I'm not really focused on a lot of the things that many people, I know many people, possibly many ministers and pastors are focused on. That's not my focus. My focus is to get the assignment done. I'm not really into all the numericals and all the data and all the statistics. All of that will take care of itself when the time comes. But right now, our assignment is to get the Word of God out to everyone, everywhere. There's an amazing a revelation that over the years I have received at different times regarding the power and the impact of the Word of God on so many lives. And so when you have that kind of an understanding, and you understand that how God works, and you know that He is not limited in any way by a lot of the natural things that man focuses on, then it's easy to make the main thing the main thing, to focus on the Word, to focus on being a blessing to God's people, to focus on the assignment that He has given us, to focus on bringing freedom, bringing deliverance, bringing release to those that are oppressed, bringing the light and the power of the Word of God to those that need it in different corners of the world. That is what it's all about. You know, when Jesus stood in that temple after the Holy Spirit came upon him in Luke chapter 4, and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and He has anointed me to preach the gospel. I'm telling you, folks, he was not focused on a lot of the statistical analysis that maybe people in his generation could have been focused on. He was not focused on a lot of the natural things. In fact, you know, one of the stories that blesses me so much is the story of when he was invited into the house of Martha. Martha, it was a two-sister home and a brother, Lazarus. Martha and her sister, younger sister, Mary, both of them invited Jesus, but really Martha was really like the lead in this situation. And they invited Jesus into their home. Obviously, they wanted to take care of him. They wanted to entertain him. They wanted to be a blessing to him. But when it came time for the Word, the ministry of the Word of God, and the Lord Jesus Christ started ministering, you know, Martha was so focused we've got to get the food together. We've got to, you know, set the table. We've got to, you know, make sure that, you know, all of that. And that was good. There was nothing wrong with that. They invited him to their home for that purpose, right? However, she didn't keep the main thing, the main thing. But Mary, her younger sister, did. The Bible says that Mary, I think that story is in Luke chapter 10. The Bible says that Mary sat at the feet of Jesus, and she just wouldn't be distracted. She just would not be distracted. And this was a one-member congregation. It was a one-member, one-person congregation. And the Lord Jesus Christ was ministering as though he was speaking with a million people, right? To the point where when the other person that could have been the additional member, you know how this works, right? Many times, if we're looking for a larger audience, then we begin to play games, right? We start looking for ways to appeal to people so they can join our audience and so we can have increased numbers, right? Which sometimes a lot of people are really focused on. And the Lord did have that opportunity, right? When Martha came to him and said, "Hey, Lord, wouldn't you ask my sister to join me in the kitchen so that we can get this stuff going? That's why we invited you here," right? You know, if Jesus was focused on appealing to Martha's emotions, appealing to what she wanted, and appealing to what would have been, pleasing to Martha, well, he would have played some games. Oh, would have, you know, find a way to say, "Oh, Martha, you know, you're absolutely right. Mary, why are you sitting down here listening to the word when you should be helping your sister? You know, let's go do that. Let's do that first. And then once you have it all together, then both of you come and sit down and I'll be willing to wait." He could have done something like that, right? But he did not. He didn't appeal to that lower nature, right? He had a focus, he had an assignment, and in that moment, there was one person who was a recipient, who was fully focused. Glory to God, and that one person got it so well. In fact, in that scripture in Luke chapter 10, this is how the Lord addressed this situation with Martha, right? So, and I'm going to read that part in the Amplified, but let's read this verse from the King James. I didn't pray yet. Hallelujah. I'm so in the spirit, so in the flow, so trying to get into it and just lay a good foundation for what the Lord has for us going forward. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you tonight. You are so awesome. We bless you. We give you the glory and the praise for this privilege that you've given to us tonight to come together around your word. Precious Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We're so glad that you are here with us to open our eyes, to teach us and to teach us the simplicity of your word. Give us illumination and revelation and take us to a place where we have never been before. Father, we thank you so much. We give you all the glory and we give you all the praise. You alone are deserving of it. So receive it to yourself now. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. And Father, I pray for all of my brothers and sisters, everyone that's joining us from different parts of the world, wherever they are, whatever platforms they're joining us on, open their eyes tonight. Like you spoke and you released your light in the darkness. And light came and the world came into fruition and null and void and ugly and all of that became very good and very beautiful. Lord, illuminate the eyes of your children tonight. Help us. Help us get into the word and get into the substance of your word. Bible says the entrance of your word gives light and it gives understanding to the simple. That's what we ask you for tonight. We receive it with thanksgiving and we give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you so much again. You see how excited I was just to write into the word. So in Luke chapter 11, In verse 38, the Bible says, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." So, of course, while Jesus was ministering the word, Martha was very busy. Not that she was doing something wrong, but I think that she really ought to have been smarter than that. I think that she ought to have paid attention to the fact that this is the Lord. I mean, how many times do we have Jesus in our home? How many times do we have the privilege of inviting Jesus to be our special guest of honor? And Jesus is right here with us. He's right here with us. And we have his attention, and he's right here in our home. Well, nothing else matters. Nothing, absolutely nothing else matters. So let's put everything aside, and let's keep that, because Jesus is already ministering the word. He didn't say, well, let's finish eating, and no, he just got into the word. Mary is sitting down there listening with rapt attention to what he's ministering. Martha should have just put that thing aside and said, let's leave that for now. That's not as important. We'll get to it when the time comes. Let's go with the flow and get in the word. But she didn't do that. And I think that was a mistake. And this is the way the Lord addressed her in verse 40. But Martha was encumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, does thou not care? Do you not care that my sister Mary has left me to serve alone? But bid her therefore that she come and help me. Tell her to come and help me, Lord. And Jesus answered and said unto Martha, 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 and called her twice. You are careful and troubled about many things. You are careful and troubled about many things. I wonder how many homes the Lord Jesus Christ would go into where he might say the same thing on a night like this. Martha, Martha, you are troubled. You are troubled. You are anxious. Martha, Martha. Martha, Martha, you are careful. You are anxious. You are troubled about many things. And that anxiety and that disturbance within is expressing itself in your hyperactivity, but more importantly, in your insensitivity to be able to prioritize what needs to be prioritized at this moment. In this moment, first things first, the word of God is the most important thing. So the Lord Jesus Christ said to her, one thing is needful, in verse 42. One thing is needful, Martha, and Mary has chosen that good part, and that will not be taken away from her. And that will not be taken. Mary, one thing is needful. The Lord didn't say many things. He didn't say the entertainment is good. He didn't say that's needful too. He said one thing is needful. He wasn't in any way minimizing the seriousness of what Martha was doing. But what he was doing was he was elevating the place of the word of God before these two sisters in this family, in this home. And he was saying, yeah, only one thing is really needful. At the end of the day, only one thing is really needful. And he said, Mary has chosen that good part. And then listen to what he said. And it will not be taken away from her. It will not be taken away from her. I really love that. Because when you read that first, it sounds almost like Jesus is saying, well, Mary has taken the good part and I won't stop her from doing that. And yes, that's a lot of what he's saying, because Martha came to him and said, would you tell my sister to help me in the kitchen? Right? And Jesus said, Mary has picked the good part, and I'm not gonna tell her to do something different. And that's true. That's primarily what he's saying. But there's something else he's saying. Mary has taken the good part, chosen the good part, and it will not be taken away from her. There's a measure and a dimension of authority that comes with strict adherence to the word of God. There's a measure of great grace. Remember what Paul called in Acts chapter 20, verse 32. He said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance amongst the saved, amongst the saints. It's able, the word, adherence, strict adherence to the Word of God, brings a dimension of authority into our lives where it's not just the Lord who won't stop us from continuing to keep that focus, but actually when there are forces and there are other things that the enemy seeks to send our way to try to derail us or to try to take away things that we have been given, there's a dimension of authority that actually helps us sit in a good place where that good part cannot be taken away from us. Glory to God. Glory to God. That good part. That good part. What is this good part? The strict adherence. Strict adherence. Great priority. The prioritization of the Word of God. It puts you in a place where Satan cannot take away from you what has been given to you. And that then affects every other area of your lives, my friends. Every other area of your life. Like whether it's in your family life, whether it's in your health, whether it's in your financial well-being, your prosperity, whether it's in your living an oppression-free life, freedom, whether it's in receiving favor in different areas of your life, whether it is walking in wisdom so you can make sound decisions. Hallelujah. And whether it is receiving miracles, whatever it is you need in the moment, whether it is receiving miracles, glory to God. Certainly, whether it is walking in authority, in great grace and authority, right? It affects all of those areas where the good things that you have been given, that you have laid hold on in the Word, cannot be taken away from you. My friends, this is absolutely important. This is absolutely important. Believers, prioritizing the Word of God is the greatest decision any believer can make. Greatest. Prioritizing. Giving the topmost priority to the Word of God. To the Word of God. Like Mary did. Listen to what Jesus said in the Amplified. He says in verse 10 here, Martha, overly occupied and too busy, he says, was distracted with much serving. Are you too busy that you are distracted from the Word of God? Busy is good. We need to be busy. We need to work hard. We need to labor. That's part of how we prosper. That's part of how we move forward in life. Bible says a slothful man, right? A slothful man, someone who is slothful in business, right? They will never be able to inherit the blessings and the promises that are available to them, right? Says a slothful person when they won't even roast the meat they cut, right? And you know, their hands will not bear rule. They will always be servants to others. He says someone who is diligent, right, will stand before kings. We know that. However, we can't be too busy to be distracted from the Word of God. The Word of God must be our priority. And I think this is maybe a major reason why the Holy Spirit is having me start out here tonight, because I really didn't even plan this at all. But in these things, this new series of studies that we are into on believers' authority and dominion, is so crucial, is so important in the life of a believer. This concept, this subject matter, is so important that if we don't get it, if we don't lay hold on it and receive, and the only way we'll do that will be to prioritize the Word of God, right? If we don't, it's a lot that is available to believers that will not be available to us. And we'd always be saying, why? But I wonder if this and we'll be, but there'll be a lot that has been given freely, See where Paul said in Acts chapter 20, verse 32, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance amongst them that are sanctified. Amongst them that are sanctified. The word of his grace is able to build you up and give you an inheritance. What rightly belongs to you cannot be taken away from you when you are walking in your own believer's authority and dominion. Like Jesus said, she's taking the good part. It will not be taken away from her. This area, this is one of the reasons why so many believers, this area of authority, spiritual authority, is so foreign to a lot of believers. It's so foreign. It's just very difficult for them to live in the reality of it. When they don't even understand it, they don't even know the concept. They don't even see it, let alone be able to walk in the reality of it. Amen. But that's why the Lord is having us here, right? Listen to how the Amplified describes this. Martha, overly occupied and too busy, was distracted with much serving. And she came up to him and said, Lord, is it nothing to you that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me, to lend a hand and to do her part along with me. See, she's saying to the Lord Jesus Christ, Mary is not doing her part, right? She's not working. She's not laboring with me. We're supposed to be pulling together in this particular thing. And she's not wrong. Like, yeah, Mary had her part. She did have her part. Mary just prioritized this advantage of the word of God over her part. Her part in that natural business, right? Would you tell her to lend a hand and do her part along with me? Verse 41, but the Lord replied to her by saying, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. You are anxious and troubled about many things. There is need of only one, or but a few things. There is need of only one, but a few things. Mary has chosen the good portion, that which is to her advantage, which shall not be taken away from her. It shall not be taken away from her. She has chosen that which is to her advantage, the good portion. My friends, your spiritual authority is your advantage. Your spiritual authority is your advantage. Your recognition, your understanding, your appreciation, your revelation of your spiritual authority as a child of God is your advantage in this life. In this life. It's almost like a pass. When you work for an organization, you work for a company in a huge building, right? Let's whatever part of your city where you live, like, and everybody has a name badge and they have like a key card that gives them access into that building, right? You are legitimately an employee of that organization. You are legitimately someone who works for that organization. You are on their payroll and you have your work cut out, your assignment in that organization. But then you go into work to your building and you don't take your key card. And every employee must have a key card to access that building. Well, you are not going to be able to get in there, right? It's not because you are not an employee. It's not because you don't do your job. It's not because you are not faithful or loyal in your assignment. It's that you did not bring along your advantage. Your access pass, that key card or name badge or whatever code grants you access into that building is required for you to get in there. Without that card, without that access card, you have no access. My friends, without the advantage of spiritual authority and dominion in our lives, believers have no advantage. We can't get in. We can't lay hold. We can't take it. We can't reign. We can't rule. We can't exercise dominion. We can't possess our possession. Remember, the Bible says that on Mount Zion, there will be deliverance. Right? And the house of Jacob will possess their possessions. Right? So it takes authority to enable a child of God inherit what is available to them. It takes spiritual authority. Without access to spiritual authority, without a strong command of spiritual authority, a believer cannot fully engage or possess what God has made available to them. They are children of God. Their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. Maybe baptized in the Holy Spirit. May even be serving in their churches. May even be pastors. May even be ministers, bishops, apostles. But if they don't have that access card, then the devil will kick them around like a football. Your spiritual authority, I want you to hear me. The Holy Spirit is helping us lay foundation. And I'm trusting God there are some Marys that are listening to me. I'm trusting God there are some Josephs that are listening to me. I'm trusting God there are the God's people who have prioritized the place of the word in their lives. There are some of them that are with me tonight who have given the word first place. They are hungry to walk and to engage with their God-given inheritance. I believe there are some of them with me tonight. In Jesus' audience on this particular evening, there was just one. And that did not matter at all. Jesus didn't say, "Wow, I thought you would have invited some of your other folks, your kin folks. I thought you'd have called some of your friends. So at least there's like, you know, it's a good house. The house is full." You know, Jesus was very used to speaking and preaching to crowds of people. Right? 5,000 here, 10,000 there, 15,000 there. I wish you had brought, you know, just if each of you had just brought like 10, we'll have at least about 20. It would be a full house. He didn't even talk about that. He just focused, he zeroed in on this one person who prioritized the word of God. I believe Jesus is zeroing in on you tonight. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Somebody say, that's me. I'm prioritizing the word of God. Glory to God. Your spiritual authority is your advantage in life. Unfortunately, so many believers, I don't have a percentage to put on it because I don't have any statistical analysis I've done. I don't think that's doable, really. The Lord is really the only one. The Holy Spirit is the only one who can give us such an accurate piece of data. But I guarantee you, majority of believers in the body of Christ do not understand anything about spiritual authority. Majority, and I will not put a number on it. Majority of believers in the body of Christ do not have the slightest clue, faintest clue about what spiritual authority is. And those of them who have heard it are not really walking in the reality of it. Because of the scripture I'm going to read out to you now, where you are going to see this prayer. Paul prayed for the Ephesian church. You know, the letter he wrote to the Ephesian church is really one of the letters that in an unparalleled way amongst the different epistles shines a light very strongly on the area of spiritual authority. The area of a believer's calling to reign with Christ. The area of a believer's calling to stand and to sit and to reign with Jesus. The book of Ephesians is where it talks a lot about spiritual warfare. is where it talks about the body, the head, the body, what's available to the head, what's available to the body. It talks a lot about where Christ is seated, where it talks about where believers should be seated. It talks a lot about, I mean, there's so much about spiritual authority and dominion in the book of Ephesians. You will then understand why opening that book, as he opened that book, one of the most important things he did was he told them he was praying this prayer for them consistently. Because it takes the opening of our eyes. It takes revelation and wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of this concept, which we call revelation knowledge, to be able to walk, in this area of our calling, to be able to make good on what Jesus died to purchase for us. Last week, we started talking a lot about the revelation of the resurrection. It's one, oh my God, oh my goodness. One of the greatest revelations available to a believer, all the way at the top there. And it's one of the things that the enemy will fight you the most on. The revelation of the resurrection. What happened? What happened when Jesus rose from the dead? What happened? What happened? Majority of believers have no clue. What happened? My friends, a revelation and an opening of our eyes in this area will completely, radically change our lives. Completely. Completely, radically change our lives. Completely. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1, from verse 15, he said to the Ephesian church, I'm praying for you. Listen to this now. So therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. I pray this all the time for you. This is a prayer believers must pray for themselves regularly. You know, last week that was my focus tonight. But, you know, as I started, you know, the Holy Spirit took me in this other direction. But my focus was to build strongly on what we started with last week, the revelation of the resurrection. And then again, to just go over with you, I tried to do that last week. It was so long, I couldn't really get to the end of it. So I abandoned that and because I wanted to get some material in. But going over the outlines and some of the things that we will be studying together over these next few weeks under the concept of believers authority and dominion, just going through the different areas that I know are in the future as we study together, it just took so much time, so I had to leave that alone. But one of the things that we talked about was how darkness, Satan walks through darkness. We talked about this last week. And then the Bible says, in Jesus was life, and the life was the light of men. This is John chapter 1 from verse 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and all the way down to verse 5. And then it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it. And I was explaining that word comprehend in the Greek is the original Greek word is the word katalambano. That is the darkness, when the light comes, the darkness cannot stop it, the darkness cannot receive it, the darkness cannot overpower it. So what does light do to darkness? Light completely dispels darkness. Light completely runs darkness out of the room. If you go into a dark room and you flip the switch, the light switch, and light comes on in that room, darkness completely leaves that room, completely. It cannot stop that light. It cannot receive that light, and it cannot overcome that light. This is so powerful, it's so important. When the light of the Word of God begins to come, and especially in the area of a believer's authority and dominion, when the light of God begins to come upon a believer, darkness cannot stop it. Darkness cannot withstand it. Darkness cannot receive it. So areas of darkness, pockets of darkness that may have existed in a believer's life, they suddenly start to quit. Because the light of the Word of God is so overpowering. The darkness can't stop it. The darkness can't receive it. The darkness can't overcome it. And so you see, suddenly, as the light of the revelation of the Word of God begins to come, you see, darkness, it doesn't just back away. Darkness actually runs out of the room. You see areas of our lives where we have had so much darkness and things that have been a mystery to us, where we have lacked clarity. You suddenly find the empowerment of the light of God beginning to come in there. You suddenly find this light beginning to pave a way, pave a path. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I'm just so really full in my spirit. And I know I can probably won't do as much tonight, but glory to God. Thank God he's helping us lay more foundation. We did something last week, laid some foundation tonight. I'm finding out this wasn't really my focus, but we're laying more foundation. You can come out of this series of lessons, even though you've heard so many messages in these areas, but you can come out and be a totally different person because of the measure of authority that you begin to command in your life. And the Bible says when Saul, you know, after his encounter with the prophet Samuel, you know, and then Samuel had anointed him. The Bible says Saul became another man. He had a different heart. He became another man totally, to the point where he saw some prophets and started prophesying with them. I mean, Saul, prophesying. Something radically changed within him. That's what the Word of God does. That's why Jesus said, it's your advantage. The Word of God. This Word that we are growing in together tonight, and for the next several weeks, this word on a believer's dominion, a believer's spiritual authority and dominion, will build you a lot of spiritual muscles. And it's not just physical muscles, it's not just muscles to do things. Yes, you will do exploits, but beyond doing exploits, it's spiritual muscles that will just elevate you to a different plane. Somewhere where you have never been before. Hallelujah. Somebody say, that's me. Glory to God. Say, that's me. So, let's go back to the Word of God. So, Paul said to the Ephesian church in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, I always pray for you. Verse 16, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God, listen to the prayers he prayed for the Ephesian church, each of them, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto me. So when you pray this prayer for yourself, you personalize it. There's so many things the Lord wants to show you over the next few weeks. There's so many things the Lord wants to call your attention to. I guarantee you, a lot of what you are going to hear, even if you have heard like little parts of it, little portions of it in different places on your journey or through the course of your life, I guarantee you some of the things that the Lord is going to show you, some of the things he's going to open your eyes to see, some of the things he's going to impart to you will be things that you have not seen at that level, that degree before now. It'll be so much light flooding those areas, where there's an empowerment that will come into your life to enable you to lay hold on what is available to you in Christ. You can say it over and over and over and over and over. You know, you can say to children, little children, right? can say, "No, don't you understand? This is what I want you to do. This is. I don't like you doing that. I don't like you going over there. I don't like you talking like that. I don't like you acting like this." You can say over and over and over and over, and those children will keep doing the same thing. But the day they have an encounter, and the encounter can be by way of a smack, a good smack, not abuse, but good smack. Smacking is still good. There's nothing wrong with it, as long as it's done in love, not in anger. That encounter with the smack imparts something new to that child. You've been saying it and saying it, and they just keep repeating it. When one encounter, just one encounter, it doesn't have to be a smack, it can be an encounter with something. Some serious timeout that is not followed by we are playing and laughter and the child forgets. No, a serious encounter. Glory to God. A serious encounter. Because if you, the parent, you don't do that, then what you are doing is you don't love that child. The Bible says if you love that child, then you will bring them to a place of correction in love so that the enemy's rod cannot touch them. If you spare your rod, then the enemy, they become victims to the enemy's rod. I know that the devil is evil. He steals, he kills, he destroys. But that's why God gives children parents, so that you can save that child from the destruction that is ahead. When the light of God shines and we begin to see, that, you know, you've heard, king and priest, I'm a chosen generation, royal priesthood, we even sing it. I'm a chosen generation, I'm a David, and you just, I know who I am, I know, but you may not be walking in the revelation of that authority. Right? The first thing that comes, the devil just blows you. You're off your feet. The fact that you're singing it all the time, the fact that you are, you know, saying it all the time, it's great to say it and sing it, but it doesn't mean you have a revelation of it. What I am praying for you in the name of Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, is that the revelation that God has made available to you for all of this last week, we started delving into the revelation of the resurrection. I thought I was going to just delve some more tonight, but I pulled back a little just to give some more foundation. And I'm not going to back off, and I'm not changing what I'm ministering, because this is where the Lord wants us to be. But the extra foundation is great tonight to prepare us. Some of the things the Lord wants to impart to our lives, which I've seen that. I've seen those radical changes with my own two eyes. I've seen it in the lives of believers. The moment they have an encounter, something that is a life-altering encounter with the Word of God or with the power of the Holy Spirit or something, you see how change happens. Now, if they don't regress, because again, what happens to many believers is they come alive and then they stay that way for a few weeks, a few months, maybe some, a few years, and then they regress back to their traditional religious ways. And then the enemy goes back and throws them into darkness, right? But that's not your portion. Paul prayed. He says, "I pray for you that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. One of the areas about the Lord that is so significant to our Christian walk and to the advantage that God has given us where our spiritual authority is concerned, one of the most significant areas for that is a revelation, wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him and his resurrection. What happened? What happened at the resurrection? It's not just like mentally beginning to know it. Yeah, I know, you know, Jesus rose on the third day. Mary Magdalene was there. Like Martha, yeah, oh, no, not Martha. Mary, the mother of Joseph. Mary, the mother of, yeah, I know they were there. And yeah, you know, the angel came. There was light. Yeah, that's good to know the story. But something absolutely happens to you when you have a revelation of the resurrection. Pray for yourself. Father, I pray that I have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you and revelation in the knowledge of your resurrection. He said, I pray that the Father of glory may give unto you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding becoming enlightened. That light shining on your path. We were talking about that just a few minutes earlier, and we were talking about that last week. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That when the light shines on your path, and the light of God floods your eyes, the eyes of your spirit, so you can see. You know, like that servant of Elisha, you remember? They were surrounded by this, by the chariots of their enemy forces, and the guy saw them, and he just panicked. Anybody would panic, and he said, "Alas!" He cried out, "Alas, Master, what shall we do? Alas, Master, what shall?" And the Master prayed, "Lord, open his eyes." This is the prayer Paul is praying. Thank you, Lord. Lord, open his eyes. Open his eyes so that he can see the armies of the enemy forces. But there are things he can't see that are his advantage. Hallelujah. There are things he is not seeing in this moment that are his advantage. Things that you have already made available to him. So Lord, open his eyes so he can see. Things he is not seeing that you have already made available that are for his advantage. Open his eyes so he can see them. He did. The Lord did. And when the Lord opened the eyes of that servant, he saw chariots of fire, angels all around. And suddenly, the knowledge of the armies, the chariots of the enemy forces, totally became nothing. See, that's what light does. In darkness. If that knowledge he had before his eyes were open to see the chariots of fire and the angels, the knowledge that made him say, "Alas, Master, what shall we do?" The knowledge that created fear, the knowledge that created anxiety, the knowledge that made him feel like he was at the end, the knowledge that made him feel like they were finished, that knowledge totally dissipated. He totally ran out of the room of his head. The moment his eyes were open, the eyes were open. The eyes of his spiritual understanding were enlightened. He suddenly realized his advantage. He suddenly realized, whoa. Now he's no longer saying, "Alas, Master, what shall we do?" Now he's like, "Oh my goodness, let's go get them. Let's go get them." When the eyes of your understanding are flooded with the light of God, and the light of God comes from his word, that's why Jesus said to Martha, listen, the advantage that God has given you is his word. And Mary has picked that, and we're not going to take it away from. I'm not taking it, and Satan can't take it. I'm not taking it away, and Satan cannot take it. He cannot take it. Because once you have it, beloved, once you have it, there's David's. I better close. We're almost 15 minutes here. I better close tonight. Oh my gosh, look at this. Lord God, Father, we thank you so much for your mighty presence with us tonight. The mighty men of David, the Bible talks about them in the Old Testament. One of them, the Bible describes as a man who had a small lentil farm, a little piece of land that, you know, and the enemy, the Philistines, tried to take it, and he just stood there and he fought. He stood his ground there. He fought and fought and fought, and he would not let them take that ground away from him. It was a very small ground. But there's something that happens to a believer when the eyes of your spiritual understanding are open. Without your eyes being open, you don't realize the gravity of your advantage. Many times we feel like, oh, yeah, Satan took that. Oh, okay, fine, we'll get it back sometime in the future, maybe 20 years, maybe 30 years. Oh, Satan stole that. Oh, somewhere, well, okay, Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the memory of the great man of God, Jerry Savelle. We just learned today that that man of God went home to heaven. Hallelujah. What a man of God. 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 It was Pastor Tinu who called me. She was looking for me all over the place to tell me. What a man of God. That man blessed me so much. Blessed us so much. What a man of God. What a man of God. Blessed the body of Christ all over the world in different parts of Africa. Had a great mission in Tanzania, different parts of Africa. And what a man of God. And some of the things that the Lord really used him as an apostolic vessel in the body of Christ, some of the things that he ministered, I remember years and decades ago when he came up, he wrote this powerful book, preached this powerful message, and it became a popular saying, like if Satan can't steal your joy, he can't keep your goods. If Satan can't steal your joy, he can't keep your goods. It was Jerry Savelle. Brother Jerry Savelle, who did that? Brother Jerry Savelle, who is with Jesus in heaven now. He has labored. Remember praying earlier today. I was a little saddened initially, but the Lord said to me, he's finished his assignment. He's gone home. He's gone. He's gone home to be with the Lord. He's done. He's completed his assignment. He's fought a good fight. He's finished his course. He ran the race. And the Lord said, it's time for you now to do the same. Run your race. Fight a good fight. Finish your course. And the moment I heard that from the Lord, that's light. The moment I heard that from the Lord, I that release came. And then I was rejoicing, just remembering the different things that he ministered, God used him. He's done. He's gone home to heaven. Glory to God, he's done. It's not the number. It's not the number. It's the assignment. It's not the age. It's the assignment. It's not the number. It's the assignment. It's not the age. It's the assignment. He's gone. He's done. So let's run the race that God has given to us. So many people who don't realize, they think, because, they don't understand. They have very little, very tiny understanding. They just, like that little child, you can say it and say it and say it, just keep saying. It takes an encounter with the Holy Spirit. When they have an encounter, not with rod, hopefully, but with an encounter with the Holy Spirit, everything changes in their lives. That's what I'm praying for you in this area of your life, that you will have an encounter. Some people say, well, he stole, the devil too. And people, many times, believers don't realize all these little things here and there that they are giving up ground to the enemy over, and they are losing and they're just walking away. All those things are the things that when the Lord prepared their inheritance. All those things were supposed to make the full inheritance that was supposed to be available to them. But they lose this here, they lose that there, you know, yeah, it's okay, fine, we will get another one. And the enemy keeps pummeling them until finally, when their work is done, they look back and they find that they didn't get even a fraction of what God kept for them on this earth, because they didn't have the focus of Mary, the priority that Mary gave the word of God, to say, I want what's mine. This is not a play for me. I didn't come here to play. I don't have forever to do what God has called me to do. I don't have a gazillion years. Time is limited. The clock is ticking. Years are passing. I want what is mine. I want to make an impact in my generation. I want to make an impact in the next generation, in future generations. I want to affect the lives of men. It's not in the numbers. It's not, no. It's the qualities, the substance. I want to be able to leave a deposit in my generation, and glory to God, so that when I'm done, when I run out of time, I can say, like Paul said, I ran my race, I finished my course, I fought a good fight. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness that the righteous God, the righteous judge, will give unto me, not only to me, but to everyone that loves his appearing. It's not a play. This is serious business. There's a time to have fun and glory to God. The Lord wants us, you know, in his presence, the Bible says there's fullness of joy. His right hand, there are pleasures for him. And there's a time for God. God wants us to have fun. But it's a serious business. Possessing your inheritance on this earth is a serious business, because you have an enemy that has sworn with his life to stop you. And he will do everything possible within his means to stop you. And you are not going to get past him by playing. He prayed, Paul, let's close out here. Glory to God. I've done 57 minutes. You got to forgive me, because I thought I was going to do 45 minutes tonight. Paul said, I pray for you, and I'm going to stop right there. I can't even read the entire prayer. Lord, I pray for you that the Father, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Let's pick that up next time. Father, we thank you tonight. We give you praise. Thank you for being with us in this service. Thank you for your mighty hands, your mighty presence. Thank you, God, for my brothers and sisters, everyone under the sound of my voice tonight. Thank you, Father, for your holy word, the advantage you have given unto us. Thank you, Father, for the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We give you praise. Lord, we lay hold on everything that you have for us. Receive all the glory and receive all the praise tonight. Thank you. Thank you. God, and continue to impart through the Holy Spirit the life of God through this word that I've been ministered tonight over your children's lives. In the name of Jesus, I call in fruits. I call in results. I call in blessings. I call in favor. I thank you, Father. I give you praise for the advantage of spiritual authority and dominion that we have. Adam had that advantage in the garden. That's what you gave to him, and that's what you've given to us. Lord, as we continue to grow in that revelation, thank you, because our inheritance becomes ours in real time, in real life. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen and amen and amen. God bless you, saints. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. We're out of time. We're out of time. God bless you. Look forward to seeing you again same time next week. Good night.